It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. First night of the first Democratic debate of the 2020 presidential race is a wrap. 10 podiums on the stage in Miami. Senator Elizabeth Warren got the first question. We're getting analysis from the first night asking what to look for tonight when the second half takes the dais. So did you watch last night's debate? What did you think? 800-642-1234. Let us know. Get in the discussion. Wendy Scattergood is a political science professor at St. Norbert College in De Pere. Wendy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
So what is grabbing headlines this morning? What were some of the highlights of last night's debate?
Well, I think there's a number of things. One is Elizabeth Warren of that group was clearly the front runner, although not by a lot. I mean, I think we tend to think of the top tier as being Biden, Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren, but it's really important to remember that Biden is polling kind of in the mid-30s, whereas Sanders and Warren are in the teens. So they're quite a bit behind, but she's kind of ahead of all the rest that were on the podium last night. And the question was, you know, is she going to fall off of that position? And I think probably not. People didn't directly attack her. They pointed out maybe some differences in policies, but I mean, it was a very respectful kind of debate. People trying to get their points across, but about their own policies rather than going after each other. So I don't really see that she's going to kind of move one way or the other. She did fine. It doesn't look like she kind of stood out so much more. And then the question is, who of the kind of the, as they're saying, sort of the lower tier candidates maybe stuck out? When you look at the time that they spoke, the New York Times actually timed all of them.
Yeah, I saw that.
Booker at came in at number one at 11 minutes, and then O'Rourke at 10:33, and then Elizabeth Warren at 9:31. So she didn't even speak the most. But I think, you know, what we're hearing and I think from people today is they think that Castro stood out. I read this morning that
Julian
Google,
Castro.
Yep, that he had Google searches on him, a 2,400% increase. Googling his name. So I think that's an indicator that he made kind of, especially on the immigration issues, when he talked very passionately.
Yeah. How did he stand out on immigration? Where did he rise from these, you know, from this such a large group on the stage?
I think, first of all, it was because of the passion with which he spoke. And I think that really got people's attention. You know, the picture of Oscar and Valeria have been going around, you know, viral around the internet. And he spoke, you know, very passionately about that we should be not only, you know, concerned about it, but just pissed off about it, as he said. And then he got into specifics, talking about specific parts of the immigration law and about the issue of metering and then also getting into kind of a Marshall Plan for the Central American countries, whereas a lot of the other people talked more in generalities, and he kind of went after O'Rourke a little bit because O'Rourke doesn't support getting rid of that one part of the immigration bill. And so I think people kind of responded to that kind of emotion, passion about that issue. And I think Klobuchar got a couple of zingers in there.
Like what?
When Inslee said that he was the only one that had, you know, gotten a law passed for ensuring the rights of women's reproductive rights. And, you know, she kind of goes, well, there's three women on this stage who have fought pretty hard for women's rights. And, you know, that kind of got a laugh from the audience. And then later when they were talking about Iran, where she said that, you know, we shouldn't be making foreign policy in our bathrobes at 5 a.m. And so she got a little bit of a zinger in there on President Trump. And then, she, you know, I think she, as she has done all along, is kind of very clear responses. She spoke kind of, you know, slowly, clearly, spoke to kind of some of the Midwestern issues, as did Ryan. But I think she stuck more to policy than Ryan did. So I think those were the two that kind of stood out a little bit more that we're seeing, especially Castro. And then I think people were interested to see whether Beto would kind of redeem himself. He was kind of Mr. Charisma, the fast rising star during the Senate race that he ran against Cruz. but he's kind of faltered lately. And so this was kind of his big moment to see whether he could push himself into that second tier.
Do you think he did?
I don't think he did, actually. I think he started out, there was a question about whether he favored the 70% individual income tax for the highest earners. And he just basically gave a non-answer. He kind of talked all around it. And it was really obvious. And I think people they want to hear the specifics, so especially when he's given a direct question like that. And then his answer seemed really scripted. Like every single answer he gave was, he started with a story and then he led into a really brief idea about his policy. And he seemed pretty flat. So I don't think that he kind of brought the inspiration that people were maybe looking for.
We're talking with Wendy Scattergood, a professor of political science at St. Norbert College, looking at night one of the Democratic candidates sparring in a debate. Tonight's debate features Senator Bernie Sanders and former Vice President Joe Biden among the pack, and they've been almost unmovable leaders in early polls. Wendy, what are you watching for from these two tonight?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot more interrupting. That would be my guess tonight. I think Biden was non-existent in last night's debate. I mean, nobody addressed him or his issues at all. It was like, who's the front runner? It was just not even there. Also, there was actually not a lot of talk about Donald Trump himself. There was a lot of talk about capitalism and politics in general being for the wealthy and not for, you know, working people. But there was very little talk about Donald Trump himself. So it'll be interesting to see, one, whether they go after Donald Trump, and two, whether they go after Biden directly. Because even amongst the podium people, they didn't really go after each other.
Is this productive to have 10 people up on a stage trying to debate real national and international issues, policy issues, so many voices?
Yeah, I think it's very, very difficult. But I mean, what's the alternative is to spread it out over more nights where you might lose more viewers. It's harder to compare people when they're not up there against each other. So I think it's really kind of a no-win situation in terms of the Democratic Party trying to let people know. I think that the best thing that can happen about this is to give people a taste, just to see who these people are, get them all into one room, or at least over two nights into one room, and at least have a sense of, okay, maybe this person is a little interesting to me. I should go and do more research, because that's certainly what you're going to have to do in these 60 seconds and sometimes 30 second sound bites. I mean, there's just no way that they're able to kind of get that across. And when we're seeing the number one time for Booker at 11 minutes out of 2 hours, he spoke for 11 minutes. So, and then we see Inslee down there at the bottom at 5 minutes. So you're really not getting a sense of what these people are.
It's a jumping off point.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Wendy, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
Wendy Scattergood is a professor of political science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. Second round of debates broadcasting tonight, beginning at 8 o'clock Central Time, 8 to 10 on NBC, MSNBC, Telemundo. You can also stream it online. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network.